You're listening to the Generation Y podcast, your source for everything from the 90s to early 2K, with your hosts, Josh and Amy.
Hey, guess what time it is?
Hammer time.
No, not hammer time. Even though I do love me some MC Hammer. I want some parachute pants.
Oh my gosh, can you please?
That'd be amazing. We could put it on Facebook.
I'd love you forever. Do it.
I thought you already loved me forever.
Sometimes.
Aw, that's sad.
Kidding.
It's time for episode 10.
Yay.
And we're talking about the SNES.
Not the SNES, for those weirdos out there that call it the SNES.
Some people call it the SNES.
No, you need to stop. Like I said before, you need to calm down call it the SNES.
It's the Super Nintendo.
It's an SNES. Take that extra millisecond to say the SNES.
SNES.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
So, obviously, we'll get to that in a few minutes. Do you have any memories, like, do you want to open the show with of the SNES? Let's do this. When was the first time you played the SNES? First time you remember playing the SNES?
Probably when, let's see. Oh, I was like six or seven. We had a Nintendo first, and then my dad got the SNES. And I played Super Mario World. I played all the Mario ones. Those were my favorite because those were the games that my dad bought. And I actually used to play with my dad all the time. So those are my, like, the memories I have of that.
So obviously I'm more of like a Sega fanboy. Like I'm a Genesis kid.
I didn't actually have one.
My cousin had one, which is weird, and I used to play it a lot. I had a Game Gear. I had an NES and I had an Atari. So I remember my first experience playing SNES was I went to a friend's birthday party.
I liked Super Mario World. I liked all the Mario games. I'm a Mario fangirl.
Yes, you are.
I am.
So, we'll get into that in a little bit, talk about the history behind it, and talk about some other great games for the system, and talk about more of our memories. And before we go any further into that, we should do our 90s news and music and TV and all that pop culture goodness. So, there's a theme this week with our 90s news. So instead of picking a year like we normally do and doing like one year in the 90s, you know, this week in 1996 or whatever, I've decided, because that was getting kind of old, that we're going to do this week in all of the 1990s. So there wasn't news in every year, but there was some pretty cool news. Our themes are this week getting people super fat on fast food and technology. So let's start. So 1990, the first Pizza Hut opened this week. So we're talking, how many years ago was that? That's what? I'm trying to do math in my head. 26 years ago?
Yep.
First pizza opens in the People's Republic of China nearly 3 years after the first KFC opened there. And then also, that the same week in 1990, the first McDonald's restaurant is opened in mainland China near Hong Kong. That's crazy. It's like a Pizza Hut and a McDonald's in 1 week.
Yeah. Sorry, China.
And now it's like everywhere over there. That's our restaurants are everywhere. We've taken over.
We have.
I guess it's only fair, right? Because I get fat eating Chinese food, so they can eat some Big Macs.
This is true. We did eat Chinese food today, and I feel very
bloated.
It was
delicious. Although I feel like they have a different menu in China. I know like in Japan, they have a weird menu. They had that like squid. Was it like squid ink dyed buns?
The black burger.
Was that Whopper bun?
Yeah.
That was weird. It was like a black cheeseburger.
I know.
Kind of freaks me out. And then our other news item for 1990, this week, 1990, is Tim Berners-Lee begins his work on the World Wide Web 19 months after his initial outline of what would become the web concept. So sorry, Al Gore, you did not invent the internet, even though you tried to say you did. It's Tim Berners-Lee. Can you imagine being the guy that's, like, responsible for the internet?
I don't know. It's kind of hard to...
I would, like, partially hate myself.
I know.
There's a lot of good things about the internet, like podcasts, internet radio, Facebook is sometimes good, sometimes horribly evil. YouTube is good because I spend a lot of time watching random videos on YouTube. Like, it connects us as a world. We're all connected and you can buy things on Amazon and Netflix, and there's some good things about it. There's also some really bad things about it. So I'd be interested to see like an interview with him to see if he actually is like disappointed
what
at all
he has.
With how it went or if he thinks it's a good thing.
So weird to think about that the internet didn't exist before. Because we're so used to having it in every aspect of our life, like right at our fingertips. And it's so weird to think about that, you know, when we were younger or little, there was no internet.
It is weird to think about.
It's so weird to think about.
So 1994, this week, online service America Online offered access to the World Wide Web for the very first time. So there's some debate as to what the exact date is. I found a couple sources that said it was this week in 94, and I found one source that it was the end of October, but we're going to count it as this week because I found a couple different things pointing to it being this week. So, and I don't remember, I don't think I had AOL that early. We talked about it in that bonus episode that we released a couple weeks ago about AOL. I don't remember it till like 96, 97. I don't remember having it that early.
I didn't get AOL until I was in like sixth grade.
Which would have been what?
2099?
I had it way before that. I had internet in like 97.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I was slow, I guess, with the internet.
And so, continuing our little theme here of technology, in 1995 this week, the DVD was announced as a format. Which is weird to think about, because DVDs didn't, like, really come huge till end of the 90s, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I still had movies on VHS tape.
I remember when Blockbuster had VHS and DVD options.
That wasn't, like, what, till 98, 99?
I think that was even in, like, the 2000s, yeah, early 2000s.
So they announced, I mean, obviously, whenever they announce these things, it's super expensive at first. So I'm sure the price kind of kept people from buying DVDs, but kind of cool to think they announced it that far ahead of time.
This is DVD. And this is what happens when you watch DVD. It's a movie on a disc the size of a CD. The picture is twice as sharp as VHS. The sound is infinitely clearer. It looks and sounds like you're at the movies, but you can experience it at home. Not to mention, you can watch it in widescreen. Listen to audio commentary. Choose from features like director's notes, behind-the-scenes footage, trailers, and more. Watch a movie right on your computer. And rent or buy DVDs from these great Hollywood studios. DVD. See how good a movie at home can be. With over 3,000 titles to choose from, make sure you see your next movie on DVD.
Yeah. And finally for 1995, this week 1995, WinPlay 3, which was the world's first real-time MP3 music player, was released. So in 1995, they were already talking about doing MP3s, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I wonder when, I mean, I'm sure we'll get to it at some point when we do our news. I wonder when, like, Napster or Kazaa or any of that stuff actually, like, launched.
I remember Napster being big when I first had AOL. Because I was trying to get Napster to work, and it wouldn't work. And all my,
that makes sense.
It worked in all my friends.
So it's like 2000?
It was like 99, 2000.
All us naughty kids were illegally downloading music.
Oh, yeah, and Napster.
Now you're thinking about it. You think about how, like, me being a musician, or used to be a musician, how horribly bad that actually is.
I know.
Like, but now you get YouTube, and everybody watches music on YouTube.
Yeah.
But I guess
you have to buy music sometimes.
Technically, I guess they get some sort of money from you watching it. Mm-hmm. So I had to throw someone in there in 1997, just because I'm a big UFC fan. Pride holds its inaugural event in Tokyo, Japan. They're like the big, crazy, weird Japanese version of the UFC. Remember they had you saw some of the fights of like the big sumo wrestler guy fighting like the little like, I don't want to call him a midget. I don't want to offend anybody, but the little guy, he's like, I don't know what to call, like, what is the official term? I don't want to be offensive.
I don't know.
Small person. He was like fighting like a sumo wrestler, and it was horrible. I'm like, he's going to sit on him. He's going to like crush him. It was bad.
I was watching it. I was like, this can't be legal. Cannot be
but
legal.
The little guy won. He tired the big guy out.
Holy cow.
The big guy felt like he like tapped out and quit. He's like, I'm done. I'm done chasing you. So, also in 1997 this week, the first color photograph appears on the front page of the New York Times.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they probably, before that, they probably had Earth in black and white because of like printers they were using and stuff and the cost. So, not that long ago.
I remember colored ink used to be crazy expensive.
Oh, crazy expensive.
It still is, but like way, years ago,
way
it was
worse.
Horrible.
Yeah. Now you get a coloring cartridge for like 30, 40 bucks. I remember it being like 120.
Mm-hmm.
I remember like when I was at my parents, we had to print color in black and white, and they were like, don't you dare print color. We had like the same cartridge, like, you know, like the sample ones they give you.
Yeah.
Like 2 years later, we had the same cartridge. Like once a year, I'd be like, I need to print color for school. My dad would be like, okay, you can do it. You're allowed this one time. So in 1999, this week, the date was selected as by the UN as when the world population reached 6 billion people. So they're saying that on this week in 1999, we hit 6 billion people, which is crazy to think about because now we're like over 7 billion. And, you know, you're talking less than 20 years, you're at 7 billion people.
We're overpopulated.
So it's crazy. Yeah, it's all right. We'll grow like There'll be like gardens like in the sky floating and stuff to like get food for people and stuff. I get these crazy visions of the future.
Okay.
It's kind of, this is a tangent.
Whatever you say.
This is a tangent and we can get back to it in a minute.
Everybody, Josh may be going away for a little while.
Stop. This is kind of a tangent. But it counts because this is a 90s podcast. Everyone who I think listens to this podcast probably at one point or another, and I think at some point we're going to have to grandfather them in and do an episode just because like everybody in our generation loves the movies. But like Back to the Future was late 80s, early 90s, the three movies. You watch Back to the Future, and they're talking about, like, this year, like, 2016, and, like, flying cars and, like, hoverboards and stuff, and none of that stuff happened. Like, what are they thinking?
I know, it's so funny.
I'm kind of sad about
it, honestly. That they were wearing, the clothes were so futuristic.
I remember as a little kid, I was, like, 5 years old, like, because it's just parts of it. It's a few little curse words, but it's somewhat appropriate. It's not inappropriate. Where I was like being like, okay, maybe I was 6 or 7 watching it and going, wow, when I'm 30, we're going to have flying cars. And none of it ever happens. I'm so sad. All right, let's move on to the music. So this week in 1991, we're doing 91 because of the fact that the SNES came out 25 years ago in 1991. So I'm going to run through these songs. You know, we've been doing a lot of like mid-90s song charts. I got to be honest, this one's got a few songs I've never heard of before, but we'll go through it. We'll play a few as always. And guys, if you guys have anything to add about any of these songs we're about to talk about, or you want to write in and say, what the heck, how come you guys haven't listened to that? Are you under a rock? Go ahead and send us an email to
GenerationYPodcast@gmail.com.
So I know somebody's going to send me a nasty email on Facebook and go, excuse me, because I don't know some of these songs, but let's start. Number 10. 3 a.m. Eternal by the KLF.
That's a big no.
You don't know that song. All right. Number 9, Too Many Walls by Kathy Dennis.
But I'm sure we would recognize it if we heard it. We haven't listened to these yet.
Yeah, no, we'll listen to them as you're listening to them, but we're not going to be able to play all of them. We'll play a few of them. Number 9 is Too Many Walls by Kathy Dennis. Just said that. Number 8, okay, I like this guy, and I got to be honest, like, I only know one song. Or I thought I only knew one song by him until I actually heard this and I realized that I knew this song. So Seal, who's famous for what? What song do you know by Seal?
Kiss by a Rose.
From the Batman soundtrack. Well, in 1991, he was number 8 on the charts with a song called Crazy.
Crazy.
Don't know it?
Maybe.
Let's listen to a little clip of it and then we'll talk about it after that.
Okay. I threw a fractal on a breaking wall. I see you, my friend, and touch your face again.
So now do you recognize the song?
I honestly had no idea that was Seal. I used to hear that song all the time.
It's a great song.
It is a good song.
We need to add this to our... Oh, we haven't announced our little project
yet.
Want to take a quick break and make an announcement?
Yes.
You go ahead. You can talk about it.
All right. So Josh has been working really hard on a new little project that we're doing. We have a radio station, and it's not just your regular old 90s radio station. It's 90s and early 2K. The mix of music is awesome. We have hits in there. We have some deep cuts that you haven't heard in forever. You'll be listening to it and you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot about this song. We have 90s commercials in there.
My favorite part.
Pretty soon we're going to have episodes of the podcast. We're going to have episodes of Amazing Advertising Podcast with Lyle. It's going to be awesome. It is awesome, but the new stuff that's going to be coming with it is going to be even more awesome.
So we're calling it the Generation Y Radio Network. And as Amy was just saying, you know, like we have a station around here, which I'll pick on for a minute, even though it's a pretty good station, but Star 92.9, I think every city has like their like adult contemporary station that plays like 80s and 90s music. Mm-hmm. I think every city in the world has a station that does that. And so we still play hits. You'll still hear Wannabe by the Spice Girls. You'll still hear Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls. You'll still hear, you know, the hits. But, like, we wanted, like, a better mix. And so it's all 90s and early 2K artists. And like Amy said, we get these crazy awesome commercials from the 90s.
And if you guys have any good songs that we can add, I mean, we'll add it to the station.
Send us an email or message us on Facebook. If you follow our Facebook, we've been talking about the station a lot on Facebook. But if you go to our website, which is what? Generation
Y Podcast www.weebly.com.
Which at some point we're going to change and get a different URL for that. It's a little bit shorter. But if you go there, there's a little button that says listen to us live. You can click on that and listen to us. Or if you have the TuneIn app on your phone, which is free, type in Generation Y and it'll be right there. And coming soon, we're going to have our own app, which is going to be awesome. In the iOS and Android app stores. So Generation Y Radio Network, we're going to have some live shows coming up pretty soon. And again, like Amy said, this podcast and Lyle's amazing advertising podcast have already joined the network and more to come. So if you want a good mix of 90s content, music, commercials, you name it, we have that stuff coming. So I'm excited. We will have a schedule up on the website and on Facebook next week because we're going to start doing some of our live programming and the countdown show and some of the cool things we have coming up. So if you're looking for something new to listen to when you're at work and you're bored with your local radio stations, please tune us in and tell your friends and family, and hopefully we can all start listening to it. I know we own it, but I listen to it like every day.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like obsessed with it. Awesome. It's like what I've always wanted in a radio station. It's different than like, I mean, yeah, you can go on Pandora and you could like play like 90s music and you could like skip songs. This is better because people who love the 90s, just like you, are the ones who made it. So we've like actually, instead of being random 90s music, we've actually programmed it. We have a good mix of songs and I'm really proud of it. So I'm excited.
He did a good job.
So I want to get to where we have like hundreds of listeners from all over the world listening to it, mm-hmm. which will be awesome. And we'll get there. So back to the music. Number 7, Time, Love, and Tenderness by Mr. Michael Bolton. I do not know this song.
You probably will.
I know a bunch of his songs. He's like more, he is definitely like the early 90s, like, I can't think of an equivalent now. There's nothing equivalent now.
Early 90s stuff is hard because we were like little in the early
90s. Yeah, I mean, I've listened to a bunch of it. I mean, I used to watch MTV when I was little, but I don't.
I remember you telling me that your parents put MTV on to stop you from crying.
Oh, yeah, it was like a soothing thing for me as a baby. I'd be crying, they put on MTV, I'd shut up. Like, I've always loved music.
It's weird because they used to play dirty videos on MTV.
Not way back at the beginning.
I remember they used to play That Girl by Shaggy. Yeah,
okay, so you're talking
and
about...
And my mom, I remember she was watching it with me, and she was so disgusted because the woman had, like, cleavage in the video. She's like, I can't believe you're watching
but
this.
But you're talking about, like, late 90s to early 2000s.
No, it wasn't. It was when I was little. It was, like, okay, 80, I think.
So 97?
Oh. Wait,
I'm talking about 1990, 91, 92.
I was 97. Oh, God.
You were 9.
No.
You were 9.
I was not.
You were born 88. Oh my 97, God. You were 9.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
So, I'm talking about when I was, like, little. I'm talking, like, 91, 92, like, early on MTV, because they had just music videos. And there was no commercials. There was no reality TV. There was none of that. All right. So, on to number 6, Good Vibrations by Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Can we play this? I love this song.
I hate this song.
What?
I hate it. I'm sorry. Don't hate on me.
You hate this song.
I do.
How can you hate Marky Mark?
I just don't like it.
Okay, we're going to play it anyway.
Okay.
Like that song.
I just don't like it. It's so overplayed.
Oh, it's so awesome.
Like, I just don't like it.
And I don't even like dance music, and I like that song. All right, number 5, Things That Make You Go, Things That Make You Go,
I wish we did video along with the podcast CNC so you can see our, like, factory. Facial expressions and our body language. Oh, my gosh.
I like this song. I like CNC Music Factory. It's, again, it's one of those, like, kind of, I don't want to call it generic because it's not, but, like, very early 90s, like, dance song. There's a lot of those.
There's a lot of that now. Electronic-y dance stuff.
Yeah, there is a lot of that now.
It's a cycle.
All right, so
question.
Yes.
I mean, statement.
Yes.
Have you noticed that, like, the 90s, they're, like, really coming back now because, what was it, a Target commercial or a Macy's commercial? They were like, oh, the 90s are back, and they had, like, jean vests and they had their plaid shirts tied around their waist. And I was like, okay, the kids nowadays are going to think
back.
That they invented
I'm not going to get political on this podcast. That's not what we're here for. We're here to have fun, not to talk about that crap, because it's crap. But so you could potentially have a Clinton as president again, potentially. I'm not going to say whether I like that or not like it, but you could. Okay. You have 90s clothes coming back to the Gap and Target. You have dance music on the radio again, kind of like the early 90s. You have
everything's coming
Legends
back.
Legends of the Hidden Temple is going to have a movie this year on Nickelodeon. Did you hear about this? Double Dare is doing a live special on Nickelodeon.
For
one night, they're going to do a special episode of Double Dare.
That is awesome.
For like the anniversary with Mark Summers and everything.
That is so cool.
Like everything 90s is coming back.
I wish we had cable.
It's weird. It's weird. Like I'm pretty excited about the 90s coming back, but it's weird.
I know. It's awesome. It's cool.
So number four is Motown Philly by Boyz II Men.
I love that song.
Let's play it. See, I don't think people realize, like, when they think of Boyz II Men, they think of, like, I'll Make Love to You, End of the Road. They think of, like, the ballads. And, like, they had some pretty good, like, song, like, upbeat songs like this. And we were just talking about this the other night. Where was this? The song was used on a TV show.
What Full House.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And Stephanie danced to it during her dance recital.
I forgot about that. Yeah. That's right. We were talking about that the other night. Number three, Everything I Do It For You from Robin Hood by Bryan Adams. Do you know the song?
I love
from,
that song.
Do you know it's from the Robin Hood soundtrack?
No, I did not. I love that song, though.
Let's play it. This is one of those songs that it's overplayed some.
I never thought it was overplayed.
It was played like wicked, but I can't get sick of it.
I love it.
That's a good song.
I love Bryan Adams.
Me too. And little plug here. You can hear this song amongst many of his others on the Generation Y radio network. Go to tunein.com to tune in. Okay, so song number two this weekend, 1991, was a band that I feel like we should have probably known a little more about them. Like, probably somebody should revoke my 90s fan card. They played at the concert you and I went to.
The I Love the 90s tour.
Yeah, and they were really good. Like, I have a newfound respect for them. They were good. The harmonies were good. The songs were catchy. I just think, you know, it's weird because I remember some of these songs from 1991 because they just kind of got stuck in your head. But I feel like a lot of these, we were so little.
Yeah.
That, you know, I think mid-90s really is kind of like that moment in time that I remember everything from the mid-90s.
Are you talking about Color Me Bad?
I am, yeah. I think this was like 4 years too early or something for me to remember it well.
Yeah, I was little in 1991.
It's a good song. It's I Adore Me Amore. You know, they were really good. I was impressed with them. It's just not something that I grew up listening to.
Me neither.
All right, number one is an artist that we do know, but a song that I could not remember. So it's Paula Abdul, The Promise of a New Day. And we'll listen to a clip of that right now. People's calling and it's calling your name. Tides are turning and winds have changed. Why do I feel this way? The promise of a new day. As the time echoes under my feet, one step closer to make love complete. What has the So were you a big Paula Abdul fan?
No, not at all.
You didn't like her?
I think I liked one song by her, but I can't remember the name of it. But other than that, I never really got into her.
Oh, what the heck's the song? I think it would be like late 80s. I can think of it, like, stuck in my head. Yeah, straight up, that's it. I was trying to think of the name of it. Straight up, now tell me, do you really want to? I wasn't going to sing it. I had it in my head. I was trying to think what it was called.
You should probably delete that.
Yeah, straight, no. It's always entertaining when you sing karaoke on our podcast. No. Straight Up is a good song. This song I did not know. I just don't know it. But it's not bad. It's okay.
I didn't like it. I like Straight Up, not this one. I don't care for this one.
Okay, so let's quickly get into our movies of 1991 this week. And our TV real quick so we can get into our main topic about the SNES. So I'll say the title of the movie, we'll play the trailer real quick, and then we'll discuss it briefly if it's something that we've seen, and then we'll go on. So the top movie coming out this week in 1991 is Curly Sue.
Look out, America. The world's smallest con artist is in town. She's got a killer smile.
Cracked me right on the top of the head, all right?
And knockout swing. And a partner.
Okay.
In crime. They know a good scam when they pull one.
You killed my daddy!
What possessed you to invite vagabonds into your home?
Now they're going from the poorhouse to the penthouse. James Belushi. Hey! In Curly Sue.
What is she, the lost stooge?
Kelly Lynch. And introducing Allison Porter as Curly Sue, a little con artist who finally gets what she deserves. A family. Big laughs come in small packages. Rated PG.
Did you ever see this movie?
No, I never did, but I always I remember seeing it at Blockbuster.
You've never seen Curly Sue?
No, I never have.
It's, like, super famous. Like, that girl, like, the hair is that... I feel like that's, like, something that everybody's seen there.
No.
You don't know her name, but, like, she's famous from, like, the 90s.
Yeah, no.
Kind of the same way, like, Macaulay Culkin's famous from doing Home Alone and stuff.
Yeah. I have no idea. Huh. I never saw it.
I think this movie was a lot, like, on cable a lot growing up when I was little. So I remember seeing this movie a lot. All right. Well, I thought maybe you'd seen it because it's kind of like a girl. You know, it's a girl's lead character. It's kind of like a movie that I think like a young girl would watch.
No, I was really into Shirley Temple. In the Shirley really? Temple movies.
Kicking it old school.
Oh, yeah. I liked A Little Princess. That was my favorite one.
Okay, and so our last movie this week, coming out this week in 1991, which makes sense because of the season that we're entering into, is Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare.
Welcome to a brand new nightmare.
Great to be back in business.
The Final Nightmare.
Did you mind your girlfriend?
I won't tell.
This is my favorite.
It's got to be me and him. We're going to have to hit him with everything we've got.
Cool.
Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. They save the best for last. Rated R. Starts Friday, September 13th at a theater near you.
So you must have seen this one.
Maybe.
Because you, as a child, watched horrible slasher movies.
Apparently. I know. Okay. I don't know where my parents were. I was always watching these horror movies, like Freddy Krueger, and I remember watching, like, The Blob.
Holy crap.
And I was, like, 7 or 8 at this time, and I remember watching Freddy Krueger.
That's insane.
And Nightmare on Elm Street.
No wonder why you have nightmares.
I know.
You were traumatized.
That explains a lot, probably.
I think my first horror movie, this is sad, was, like, junior high.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, you live a sheltered
going
life.
To, like, friends' houses.
We already established
that. We watched
the
Blair Witch Project and stuff. And,
seriously?
And we watched, I remember watching The Exorcist pretty early. But I was, like, sixth or seventh grade. That wasn't, like, when I was, like, 5. I wasn't watching that then.
What can Holy I say? I start early in life.
Apparently. So let's run through the TV real quick so we can get on to our main topic. Number 10 this week in 1991, Married with Children on Fox.
Love that show.
A show that I have not watched a lot of.
I think you'd like it now. I feel like as kids, you don't really appreciate shows like that. Kind of like Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah, I did not. As a kid, I hated that show.
But as an adult, you loved
back,
it.
You and I went back and watched it. And at some point, we'll do an episode about it because it's late 90s into early 2000s. And it's a great show. So maybe I need to watch this again. Well, it's like, kind of like Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
You made me watch
I didn't like that as a kid, good. But now I love it because you get the humor.
Yeah.
You didn't as a child.
Yeah. Number 9, 48 Hours on CBS. Number 8 is P.S. I Love You on CBS. I have no idea what that is on CBS. Number 7, Nurses on NBC. Number six, one of my favorite shows, and I remember watching this growing up, even though I was real little. Number six is Coach on ABC.
Never watched that.
Good show. Number five.
Is that an old person show?
What?
Coach.
Coach? Why are you whispering it? Everyone can hear you. There's a microphone. No, it's about a college coach. He's like a football coach. That's a famous show. Number five is something my grandparents loved, Murder, She Wrote,
yes,
on CBS.
That's an old person show.
That is, yeah. My grandmother loved that show.
I never watched
Although
it.
I remember going to I remember going to school.
What show my grandmother used to watch that I always think of, like, and this is like, I don't mean to be offensive, I just think of old person show, is Matlock.
Yep. Yep. And I feel like the Golden Girls, I always thought that was an old person show.
No, it's totally not an old person show.
Until you and I started watching it.
That is the best
show.
Yeah,
you gotta admit, it is a little bit. It's like it's a bunch of senior citizens on the show.
But it's funny.
It is funny, but I feel like it's on like in the daytime. It was on like reruns on Lifetime.
It's one of my favorite
shows. It's an old person show, I feel like.
Definitely one of my favorites.
Okay, we're getting derailed here. Number five, Roseanne on ABC, one of our favorites. Mm-hmm. Number three, and I kind of question this list. I found this list online. And maybe either it was a rerun. I'm not quite sure. But number three, they list the Miss America pageant, which I don't watch pageants, but I remember seeing commercials this year for it, and it was like a month ago. So maybe it's something weird this year, or maybe this list is off. I'm not sure. But number two, 60 Minutes on CBS. So see, that's weird. So you have, usually this time of year, you have all your new shows are coming out. And it's like the time for like all the new sitcoms and stuff. Two of the top 10 shows in 1991 were both news shows. Like, that's kind of weird to
me. Yeah, that is weird.
Made TV suck then. The only thing that was decent was Roseanne and Married with Children, apparently.
Apparently.
And Coach. And then number one, which makes total sense because it always is, Monday Night Football on ABC was number one this week in 1991. Mm. All right, so let's move on. Talk about our main topic, the SNES.
For every kind of kid you can name, Sears has a Super NES game. With 16-bit graphics, it's the new exciting one. Comes with Super Mario World for kids who love fun. For all those kids who love to fly, Pilot Wings is what to buy. F-Zero for kids who love to race and hover out there up in space. Or for kids who want more joy, another game. It's Game Boy. What do computer kids want this year? For the game Nintendo, you can count on Sears. Hurry!
On to our main topic. So when we talk about the history a little bit, and then we can talk, we each both talk about games that we like and stuff.
Yeah.
The system. Okay. So Super Nintendo system, also officially abbreviated as Super NES, or we all call it the SNES or SNES.
Stop it.
Was a 16-bit home video game console developed by Nintendo. So the NES was out for a long time, and Sega released the Genesis, or Mega Drive, depending on where you live, in the late 80s, which I didn't know until just recently, which is kind of crazy. And so Nintendo went, we got a problem here. We got to find something to compete. So they released the Super Nintendo. And it actually, it saddens me to say, went on, even though they released it later, went on to sell a lot more copies than the Genesis. It actually was the number one selling console of its generation.
Because it was better.
It was not better.
Yeah.
It was very good, but it was not better.
It was so much better.
So the big thing with the console is it introduced advanced graphics and sound capabilities compared with the NES and other things at the time. And there was a variety of enhancement chips, which I'll go into a little bit later, talk about some of the games, or like one game in particular, that was integrated in the game cartridges to help to keep it competitive. So this is a huge thing, and people at home are probably going, what the hell is he talking about? So they were smart. So they created the Super Nintendo, and then obviously over time, the Super Nintendo started to become dated when like new systems were coming out. So they figured out that, hey, instead of coming out with a new system, we can, like, put a new chip in the game cartridge when you buy your new game, plug it in, and it'll help, like, beef up the system and make it more, like, modern. So they were doing that a lot. It was by far, again, the best-selling console of the era, and it honestly remained popular. I mean, I remember when, like, the Nintendo 64 came out, my friends all had the SNES still. We weren't playing N64.
Do you remember when the Nintendo 64 came out and people were complaining because it was making them dizzy?
Yes.
They were being such big babies about it.
What is this 3D stuff? I don't understand. And the thing is, it's like, it's not, I mean, I guess technically it was the first 3D games, but it wasn't.
There were 3D games before that.
So Super Nintendo, I might as well get into it now. Super Nintendo, we're talking about those chips. The Super Nintendo, like one of the games was, you had Star Fox, you had Super Mario Kart. They figured out a way to do this like weird, it was like a trick. And so they'd have the background scrolling, and they'd have like a sprite or like a flat image on top of a scrolling background. and it gave you the impression that you were playing something in 3D. So like when you're playing Mario Kart, it looks like it's 3D, right? You're going down the track and this kind of thing is kind of moving behind, you know, the scenery is moving and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually not. It's actually the special chip and it's a scrolling background on top of a flat 2D sprite. So they did it a lot. They like, you know, kind of faked 3D for these games to make them like actually look a lot better than they would have otherwise. So, and I think that makes me feel more dizzy than N64.
Yeah, I agree. That makes me feel way more dizzy.
I still love Mario Kart, but like I can play it for like 20 minutes, then I have to take a break. Maybe it's because my eyes have problems or something, but.
Even like the racing games in the Atari, those make me dizzy. Because they're not.
Those 3D. Didn't do that they're the same not, way, though.
I know, but they still make me dizzy because it's not 3D. It's flat, but it's not flat.
Right.
It's hard to explain.
It's almost like a thing. They had this chip that was a graphics chip that allowed them to do some of this stuff that they put in the cartridges. I guess I'd call it 2.5D. It's like not quite 3D, but it's not 2D. They're like faking 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So they're moving, scrolling the background behind to give the impression that you're playing something in like in a 3D space.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it. It was cool. So, the Super Famicom, which is kind of crazy to think about. So the Super Famicom, which is the SNES, was released in Japan for the equivalent of $210 American.
Wow.
So, think about now. Like, I don't have $210 now to buy like a game console.
We broke.
Yeah. Well, what would that be like? Think about in the 90s, $210?
Yeah.
That's a lot of damn money.
That is a lot of money back then.
You could buy a lot of boxes of Hamburger Helper at $210.
Yes! Oh my gosh. Or Pop-Tarts.
No, toaster strudels.
No, I like Pop-Tarts. Well, they're both good, but I grew up on Pop-Tarts.
How did we get off on this tangent?
I don't know, but I want some Pop-Tarts
from
the toaster, where the edges are like brown, like golden and crispy. I used to break off the edges, and then I would pull the two halves apart and eat the...
That's weird.
I know. You're weird. I have problems. Okay, continue.
You don't like toaster strudels?
No, I do, but I like Pop-Tarts better.
They're awesome. So... It was an instant success when it was released. Their initial shipment of 300,000 units, 300,000, sold out within hours. It was crazy. So the Super Nintendo went on to be a major success, and, you know, there is being sold all over the world. Oh, you know what? It just went to my head. I just thought about what... Remember talking about the 3D thing? I couldn't think of what it was called. It was called Mode 7.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know why they called it that, but it was called Mode 7. And that was the way they did it, that pseudo 3D looking thing, which they used for a lot of games. So, there was obviously this thing, and I remember as a kid, in the 1990s, this was like a huge deal, like on the playground, people were like getting into fist fights over it. You had the whole, they called
Where did you go to school?
I was on the wrong side of the tracks.
Apparently.
They had this, they called it the console wars, which was this like big war between Nintendo or Sega, and it was like this huge thing, and like people would stop being friends over it. Like it was ridiculous, but it was... I feel like, so you had Nintendo and Sega, both huge game companies. I feel like the Sega ads, they were more like, and I find some ads, we'll like kind of insert them throughout the podcast. I feel like Sega was like, we're the cool console. Like they kind of aimed it at like,
mm-hmm.
like I know like my cousin's older than me, right? So of course he'd have a Genesis because it was like the older kids console. Where the Super Nintendo was for like, younger gamers. I feel like they kind of like made it that way on purpose.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Kind of like,
I can see that.
Not that we want to get to things that aren't 90s or early 2K, but like just real quick, like the Wii was always aimed towards younger gamers, I feel like, with like, you know, Wii Sports and things like that.
It's aimed more toward families.
Families and younger gamers.
Nintendo.
And Xbox 360 was like Call of Duty and like aimed towards like older gamers. It's the same thing.
I was going to say something, but I'll probably offend everybody.
What were you going to say? Nothing. Gaming nerds? I have one, so it's okay. I saw my Call of Duty sweatshirt that I couldn't find.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I have that, so. So, the other thing, I don't know if you noticed, the other big thing, so obviously they were, Super Nintendo was aimed towards younger gamers. So, Genesis, I remember the first time I ever saw this game, Genesis had, and well, at some point we'll do a Genesis episode, but they had, Mortal Kombat. with all the blood and the guts and the gore. I remember, like, going to my cousin's house, and he had Mortal Kombat.
You never saw that stuff with Nintendo.
Well, they had Mortal Kombat, but they edited all the blood and guts out. They had games that basically you could have the same game, but it couldn't have any gore in it at all.
Like I said, Nintendo, I feel like, has been more aimed toward families. Like, I feel like you'll never see a Nintendo game that I know of, correct me if I'm wrong, one that has, like, sexual innuendos.
Nothing like that, but they do, like, you can get, like, they had Call of Duty and stuff on the Wii. You can get that stuff now.
I'm talking about, like, you know, original Nintendos, like the N64 and all that.
So the other big thing that was kind of a big deal, so, and kind of hurt the SNES, but they ended up recovering from it, was during the NES era, Nintendo had exclusive rights to all the games on their system. So what that meant was if you were Konami or you were, I'm trying to think of another example, you were Acclaim or like one of these major game developers, if you had a game on the NES, you had to wait a full 2 years before you could release that same game on a different system. And what happened was Sega came out first with the Genesis and they got so big that those kinds of things went out the window. So all of a sudden Nintendo had all this competition. But in a way, what it made them do, because then they couldn't have exclusive rights to games anymore, was internally they made better games. Like Super Mario World, I think, is a much better game than Super Mario Bros. 3. Even though I love Super Mario Bros. 3, I think Mario World's a better game. And Mario Kart's an amazing game, and Star Fox is an amazing game. I mean, they just had so many good games, and Nintendo themselves were making because they were forced to make really good games. They couldn't rely on having exclusivity of other consoles anymore. Or, I mean, of other titles anymore.
Words can't describe the endless challenge of Super Mario World, so we let the players do the talking. Super Mario World is here. It's one of the new generation of Nintendo games. It comes only with Super Nintendo, and it's like nothing you've ever faced. Now you're playing with power. Superpower.
So, and then I remember, like, the other thing, too. I remember, like, there was... So, because of not being exclusivity anymore with the Super Nintendo, there was, like, games. So, like, for instance, I remember, all the Disney games, which I love, like The Lion King, Aladdin... I remember playing those on the same game, same like levels pretty much, mm-hmm. on the Genesis and playing on the Super Nintendo. And the Genesis versions were wicked hard, like really, really, really hard. And I feel like the Nintendo versions were actually kind of easier.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they knew what they were kind of gearing them towards a different crowd.
Yeah, makes sense.
And then the last thing I'm going to say about stuff they released, and then we can talk about any memories you have of other games that you've played on the Super Nintendo, is the Super Game Boy. Do you remember that? Did you have one of those?
I never had one, no.
So
I never had any of the handhelds.
Everybody had a Game Boy. At some point, we'll have to do a Game Boy
Except
episode.
Except for me.
You never had a Game Boy?
I was neglected.
You never had a Game Boy?
No, I never had a Game Boy.
I feel so sad.
I always wanted one, but I never had one.
I love the Game Boy and the Game Gear, but I love the Game Boy. Except the Game Boy was hard to, like, play when it was dark.
Yeah.
Because there was no light.
Or, like,
no
in the car.
Light. Yeah, it was hard.
I remember my friends had a Game Boy, so I always played
it. It was hard. You'd be playing a game, you'd have to wait for, like, to go by a street light and be like, oh, there it is.
I know.
And then you'd be able to play.
Didn't they make a little, flashlight?
Yeah, I had it.
Thing?
I had a little, like, something like a magnifier and, like, a light on it.
Yep.
It was ridiculous.
So 90s.
So everybody had, you know, 9 million Game Boy games. You know, you'd lose them. You'd, like, fall out of your backpack or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they came out with a Super Game Boy, which you could take your Game Boy games and you could play them on your TV. Like, it was the most amazing thing ever.
That's awesome.
And, like, and if I remember right, yeah, you play your Game Boy games on TV and they were in color. Like, it knew how to, like, take the black and white and flip it into, like, some color.
Fancy.
So it was cool. I remember playing, you're going to call me a nerd. I remember playing Pokemon. Ugh. On the big screen. I was like, this is amazing.
Pokemon.
I love Pokemon.
I'm going to just not talk.
Pokemon. Let's see what else was I doing back then. Power Rangers. I watched a lot.
I liked Power Rangers.
New movie coming out pretty soon.
I could never get into Pokemon, ever.
Oh, Pokemon's the best. I'll have to fire up my emulator on the computer and make you play Pokemon.
I'm good.
Until it grows on you.
No, thanks.
Oh, it's amazing. You got to try it. For everyone out there in 90s land, you have to try it.
Whatever.
So any other games you remember playing on the SNES that you liked?
To be honest, I really only was into all the Mario games. And
you ever
Mario
put Tetris
Kart.
On the SNES?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tetris. I was into that. But
How about Sim City? I had Sim City on.
Nope, I never had Sim City. Really? My parents didn't buy a lot of games, sadly.
You put the one game over and over and over. Well, that explains why you're so good at Mario.
I know. It does make... No. I had Super Mario All-Stars, which had all of the
That's
Mario
a good game. Because it has all the Mario games. Yeah,
so that's the cartridge
And the graphics, I feel like, are a little bit better on that.
Yeah, the graphics are awesome
on that one. Is an awesome game. I didn't have that one growing up.
So that's the one... That's the main game I played. And I just kind of went back and forth through all of the games
like,
on them.
That's like, four games in one?
So I played all of them all the way through, like, 18 times.
Did you ever have the Super Scope? Did you ever have any of, like the guns or anything? I know on the NES, I had the Zapper.
Not on Super Nintendo.
Right, I had, like, the NES Zapper with Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
I never played anything with the Super Scope on SNES.
No, me neither.
I guess I missed out on that. Like a bazooka. It seemed a little unwieldy to be playing with a bazooka in your living room.
No, I never had that.
Try to think. Oh, did you ever rent games?
Yeah.
Was that a thing near you?
But I think I rented for the Nintendo 64.
Not for the SNES.
No.
I remember renting SNES and PlayStation games from like the local Blockbuster. That was cool.
And then I remember when I got PlayStation for a while, I used to rent The Sims.
on PS1?
Yeah, I think PS1. I think. And
I'd always catch them on fire on purpose. They'd be running around going,
oh my god, I used to be so mean to them. I think it's because of all the Freddy Krueger movies I used to watch.
Would you make them, like, pee themselves? Like,
no, I wouldn't feed them to see how long that they could survive.
Oh my god.
And then I remember my mom tried to play with me one time, so she had this lady, and my mom couldn't figure out how to feed her, so the woman kept sobbing in the corner, and my mom couldn't figure out how to keep her alive, so she kept dying.
Wow.
Oh my god. Okay, if you knew my mom, you'd be laughing out there in podcast land.
So, yeah. So, anything else to add about the SNES?
No.
So, if you guys have any memories or any thoughts about the SNES, please write in. We'll add them to next week's episode. We actually have a clip that we got from Lyle from the Amazing Advertising Podcast about his memories of the SNES, which we'll play right now. And then we'll come back with our little closing thoughts. Got a few more things I want to mention. And then... we will see you guys. Next episode is going to be about Kenan and Kel, which I'm pretty excited about. So, but yeah, if you have any thoughts, generationypodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what games you guys were playing growing up on the SNES. Or if you were a Genesis fan person, then, you know, fanboy or fangirl, you can also write in and tell us that as well. At some point in the future, we'll probably do a Genesis episode or a Sonic episode because I love Sonic. And yeah, we'll take it from there. We should do a Mario episode, just talk about all of, like, Mario.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the movies, the comic books, the cartoons.
Definitely.
But we'll get to that at a different time.
But don't go away, because we have some other stuff, too, that I want to mention.
Yeah, so, we're going to. So, okay. Let's play Lyle's recording he made for us, his memories of the SNES growing up, and we'll come right back after that in just a minute with our final thoughts.
Hey, this is Lyle from the Amazing Advertising Podcast. When I heard that Amy and Josh were going to do an episode on the Super Nintendo, I had to jump in on this. I was born in 1985, so these early systems were right up my alley. The first system I remember playing was the Sega Master System. At this time, I had no school, so I spent many hours sitting in front of the TV playing games like Shinobi, Double Dragon, Altered Beast, Afterburner, and more. I never had a Nintendo as a kid, but I played the heck out of the Master System. My first experience with the 16-bit console wasn't with the Super Nintendo. It was with the TurboGrafx-16. My memories about that console are very faint, but I remember the time when my dad brought it home. My first experience with the Super Nintendo came from my cousin's house. Coincidentally, it was those same cousins who gave me my first experience on the original Nintendo. They had all of the cool games like Super Mario World, Mega Man X, Mortal Kombat. I had to have one. I begged my parents to get me a Super Nintendo, but their argument was that I already had a TurboGrafx-16. That wasn't good enough for me. I wanted a Super Nintendo. I don't remember exactly how a Super Nintendo made it to my house. I just remember not having one and then having one. I don't have memories about when it came through. When I got one, I was in school. I do remember that, so I couldn't play with it non-stop like I did the Master System. In elementary and middle school, I was in year-round schooling, so I didn't get summers off. Instead, we would go to school 2 months, take a month off, 2 months on, 1 month off, and so on. In those months off, I played so much Super Nintendo. I don't remember how I found this game, but Super Metroid took over my entire school break. Even though I haven't played that game in about 20 years, I still have dreams about finding hidden items in that game. The same goes for Zelda: A Link to the Past. Unlike Super Metroid, I played A Link to the Past about 2 weeks ago. I have both games now, but I haven't played them because up until 2 weeks ago, I didn't have a Super Nintendo. I just have the games. If I want to play Super Metroid, I have to have time, because I know as soon as I play that game, I'm not going to want to stop. It took over my entire school break, so I know if I play it now, it's just going to take over my entire life, which I can't let happen. I have kids. Another game that completely took over my school breaks was Super Mario Brothers. That game was as big as they come. I still remember the time when I would find hidden levels in the games. I bet I still haven't found them all. I really need to find a copy of it. But if you've looked at how much classic games are now, it'll make you want to vomit. Mortal Kombat was a pretty big game, but it's not the game I wanted. It's the game that my dad wanted. It was one of the only games that I remember him actually playing and liking. He was really good at those Test Your Might minigames. I could never beat them, but my dad owned them. I was never really good at doing the fatalities either. I hated those things. The original Mortal Kombat wasn't that hard, but when the second one came around, I just wanted to throw the remote out the window. Speaking of throwing the remote, I have to share this story. In middle school and early high school, I had a friend named Fernando. I used to call him Fernie. When we were off from school, we would always hang out at either his house or mine. We both had Super Nintendos and different games. There was this time where I didn't hear from him for like a week or so. He was just gone. I called him up and he said that he got this new game called Killer Instinct, and he bought the book for it. He spent all this time learning all the combo sequences and whatnot. I said, alright, I'll be right over. In my mind, I was thinking, no matter what the game is, I'm going to be able to beat this guy. I was a pretty good player when it came to the Super Nintendo. When I got there, he was already playing. I picked a guy, he picked a guy, and we started going. He killed me in literally 2 seconds. He did this 100-hit combo or something, and my guy just looked like a little rag doll on the ground. I said, okay, let's go again. And he did the same thing. I got really tired playing with him. He just kept doing the same thing and killing me in 2 seconds. On occasion, when he would mess up a combo or a finishing move or something, he would jump off his bed, throw the control on the ground, and yell into the sky. I'd tell him to shut up and sit down. He'd grab his control, flop back onto the bed, and continue to tear me a new one. I came to hate that game. I haven't talked to Fernie in over 10 years. I hope he's doing alright, and can control his anger now. I don't blame him though. Who didn't get mad sometimes when the controller didn't work right for you? But to sum everything up, the Super Nintendo gave me many years of entertainment. I was in elementary school when I first started playing it, and continued to play it way until high school. On occasion, I would buy a console online and relive some of those memories, but then I'd always need money and have to sell it. At the time of this recording, I bought a Super Nintendo, but this one I will have for many years to come. That's going to do it for me, so I'm going to go ahead and pass it back to my good friends Amy and Josh. Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you, Lyle, for that. That was awesome. I always like to hear people's thoughts of what they kind of grew up with and how they kind of experienced it. And it's kind of funny how, like, even though I'm not sure where he grew up, I think he grew up in California. I know he lives in California now. But people from, like, other countries, like when we used to do the classic console magazine that we don't do anymore. We're actually going to be doing something with a magazine really soon, but I'll announce it when it's actually happening. But we used to do that magazine, and like people from like Brazil would write in and their memories and like what they experienced, like getting something at Christmas, playing it with their friends, trading. It's all the same. It doesn't matter where you grew up. It's kind of this cool, like, universal thing that we all shared when it came to video games.
This cool little connection that we all have.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. It's awesome. So you said you had a few things you want to talk about before we close up for the week?
I think we mentioned in the last podcast that I really want to do something with diary entries. I still want to do that. So if you, I know a lot of my friends are kind of going through their old diaries, and a lot of people I've been talking to are kind of, are going through them. Even like old notes that you pass back and forth, or your old MASH games that you found in your old notebooks, you know, send us a picture anonymously.
Yeah, we won't mention your name.
We won't mention your name if you don't want us to. And we just would like to share it or talk about it. Or if you want to even email us and talk about it, we'd love to have you on our podcast.
Well, you know, like I said, I'm not going to announce it quite yet, but I say I'm not going to, but then we might as well mention it. So at some point very soon, we're going to be releasing. So we used to do a magazine called Classic Console Magazine. We're going to be releasing a new magazine called Retroactive, which is going to be the official Generation Y magazine. And it's going to be all about video games, movies, TV, toys, anything from like our childhoods. And so, if you guys send in some really good diary entries, we'll keep it anonymous. You know, I'd love to print some of that even in the magazine.
That's my plan.
We can put it on our website, you know, because, I didn't mention the website now is completely, like, redone. We're going to be adding a lot of new stuff. We're going to be doing new articles on the website and the blog, and we'll have the links to the podcast on there, too. But I'd love to have these diary entries on there and talk about that.
And remember, it doesn't have to be just be diary entries. It can be notes, like little love notes from when you were like in elementary school, anything.
Just
like
make
that.
Sure just you don't mention. Stuff. Just make sure you don't mention like the other person's like first and last name in it, because even if you give us permission, we have permission from them.
Well, we can always black out stuff. Yeah, we will block out names.
We'll pull an FBI.
Whatever
and
you
like,
guys want
we'll blur it
to do.
Out
but
or something.
I mean, it's. I think it'll be like the coolest section of the magazine is kind of going through everybody's old stuff, and I think that'll be. Really
and we'll awesome. And in the near future, you know, because obviously magazines a little ways out. We're going to read them on the podcast if we get some good ones.
And so. We'd also love to, you know, everybody has the pictures of the 90s. Like, I remember there was this one meme on Facebook of this little boy playing a Nintendo on this little TV sitting on his living room floor saying, oh, this is the 90s in one picture. You know, I feel like everybody kind of has a picture like that. So if you have a picture of you and as in your childhood in the 90s, you know, with a doll or a toy or doing something that's very 90s-esque.
All of mine are so embarrassing.
Send it in. And, you know, we'd love to print it. We'd love to post it on our Facebook.
Here's the deal. If somebody sends one in this week to us so we can talk about it on the podcast and put it on our Facebook page, I will find, I don't care if it's embarrassing, I'll find a picture of me from the 90s with my, I'll do it like when I'm young with my little glasses and everything. And I'll post that bad boy on our Facebook page. So challenge thrown.
Do it.
Please do it. And then Josh will post a picture of him looking like a little nerd on the Facebook page.
Oh, I bet you're cute.
Okay. Anyway, do you have anything else you want to add?
No.
All right, guys. So this was a little bit of a short episode this week because it's video games. It's fun to talk about. We're definitely going to do some more episodes like this, but it's not like it's a movie where we can play clips and stuff, but we love video games, we love movies, toys, TV, you name it, on this show, and next week I'm super excited for Keenan and Kel. And we will do in the future, again, we will do some other video game episodes. We'll probably try to do one every few months. I don't want to do too many close together. But if you have any thoughts on SNES or Genesis or getting in a fist fight over the console wars growing up, or did Mario Kart make you dizzy when you played it for like an hours on end, please write into Generation Y
did
Podcast.
You have to vomit?
No. Generation Y Podcast at gmail.com, or you can message us on Facebook,
Twitter, or Instagram. We're everywhere.
We're all over the internet. We're all up in your grill.
Calm down.
So, anything else?
No.
All right, we'll see you guys next time around. We'll be doing episode number 11. Keenan and Kel. And until then, have a great evening, guys.
Bye, guys.